Where are you from? It's one of the first questions we usually ask people when we meet them. I went to the CBF Texas Governing Board meeting on Thursday and Friday in Fredericksburg, and there were people there that I had never met before, and I could see their name and the city that they were from. But the first thing I asked them was, what church do you belong to? Because that was how I could connect them. It's an important thing for many people to know where someone comes from. If not a town or a country, a church or a school, something that can anchor them to a place. Roy can, in 6 questions or less, connect every person he's ever met to Uvalde, Texas. For some people, it's very important that they think they can tell a lot about a person from where they're from. Sometimes, like Roy, you just want to find something that you have in common with a new person that you meet. I really love it when I tell people that I'm from Austin and they say, do you know so-and-so? Why, yes, I live in a town of almost 1 million people. Of course I know them. But where you're from or where you live means certain things to certain people. To some people, if you're from a certain place, sadly, then you must be a certain religion. To some people, if your skin is a certain color, then you must be a certain type of person. To some people, where you're from means you need to stay away from me. Some people allow your origin to place you into a negative place. We see that in Scripture. I remind you of the woman at the well who was a Samaritan. I remind you of the Samaritan who was injured on the side of the street. There are people who put a label on others because of their origin. Well, there were those who used where Jesus was from against him. His origin meant he couldn't be who he said he was. His origin meant we can't follow you. We can't believe you. We can't trust you. When we talk about our own origin, for some of us, that's something we're very proud of, like Roy from Uvalde. It speaks to the kind of upbringing we had. Perhaps it speaks to how we learned about God, or it speaks to the bond of our family and our friends. To others, when we talk about our origin, it brings up bad memories, perhaps pain, perhaps suffering, perhaps loss. For some people, their origin is a place where they would love to return and to relive certain points of their life. For others, it's a place they never want to return to. You do everything in your power to make sure that your very origin is left behind because of the pain that you received there. Maybe our background, our origin, maybe it's changed us for the better. Maybe it's wounded us, and although that wound has healed, there's still a scar. Or maybe it's something we're still needing to work through. The wound hasn't healed yet. But our past, whether it's a good, wonderful past or a painful past, our past is part of us today. As Jesus was trying to explain this living bread, the Jews were arguing with him. They were saying, "We know where you're from." Goodness knows, everyone knows the story. You were born to Joseph and Mary. You were illegitimate. That was all a hot mess. And there's no way you are from heaven. No way. We know where you're from. It's not possible for you to have been with God. It's not possible for you to have come from heaven. You're just like us. Actually, you're worse than us. Of all the wonderful things we can gain from this passage, one of my sadnesses is seeing myself in some of these people. I'll be the first to admit that it's hard not to judge a book by its cover. It's hard to recognize that there is so much more to people than how they started out in this world. It's hard to recognize that people can change. I'm always so moved when I hear stories of people who have had horrific upbringings and they find a way to pull themselves up and move on and become amazing people and make a difference in our world. Not really in spite of their trials, but really because of their trials. Jesus, as we read here in John, once again is telling those gathered that he is the bread of life, and that that bread came from heaven, sent directly from God. And I wonder, I believe that Jesus tells us this story to make it clear then and to make it clear to us today that Jesus as the bread of life is a claim not only on our present and our future, but also on our past. Someone once said, and I wish I knew who it was. I tried to find it, but I couldn't. But somebody once said, the past can't be changed, forgotten, edited, or erased. It can only be accepted. But maybe what Jesus is saying here is that if we accept this bread of life that comes from God, our life, our past, is not changed or forgotten or edited or erased or even accepted. It's recreated. We too now are from God, with God, of God. The fact that Jesus sees our origin as from God means that we don't have to feel like our past needs to be expunged or rewritten or hidden. Instead, we can stand strong and proud that our past, present, and future is God. We watch a show on HGTV. You all know that I'm crazy for that channel. And we watch a show called Flea Market Flip. There are two pairs who go into a flea market and they pick three items or items to make three pieces of furniture. They have a set budget that they can spend, and they pick up these items and they take them back to the workshop and they have one day to recreate these items, and then the next day they take them to a flea market and they sell them. Whoever sells for the most profit, their three items, wins. Well, we were watching one, and this team found a piece of junk in the trash can. I mean, it was a piece of junk. It wasn't really in the trash can, but it was in a trash pile. And it said free. And so they picked up this piece. They spent no money on it. They took it home. They cleaned it up. They fixed it up. They added this and that to it, painted it, repurposed it, and sold it the next day for $250. I love that show because what most people see as junk, things that really should be discarded, gotten rid of, someone picks it up and restores its beauty, and the world sees it again differently. What an amazing gift. What an amazing gift for you. What an amazing gift for me. I know that I spend a lot of time wishing I had done things differently. Man, why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why didn't I do that? Why didn't I say that? What would have happened if I had done that differently? I spend a lot of time in my life regretting or fretting over things that I've done or not done. What a blessing to think that my past isn't something I need to worry about. Yesterday was yesterday. The bread of life is mine today. No matter what happened yesterday, it's mine today, and it will be mine tomorrow. And I know tomorrow I'm going to make mistakes. And tomorrow I'm probably going to spend a few moments regretting. But perhaps I can stop and just for a moment remember the bread of heaven is mine. Perhaps I can see that instead of like that item in the trash, not worth anything, perhaps I can see myself as recreated by the great Creator. Last week in SALT, we talked about creation. And we talked about whether we believed God was still creating, or did it end once the world was set in motion? I believe the great Creator is still creating and recreating us. And I believe the great Creator asks us to be co-creators every single day of our life, if we will allow it. Every time we look back with regret, every time we look in the mirror and wish we'd done things a different way, every time we judge people because of their origin or for any other reason, I pray that God's hand is there to remind me that the living bread is here for all of us, that we're all worthy of that bread, and that we're all joined together with the God who created us, and we will be for all time. Your origin is from God through Christ Jesus. And to God, we will return. Amen.